Good morning. Good morning. And welcome to First Reformed as we gather here for worship this Sunday morning. Special welcome to those of you who are joining us to celebrate with Kyle and Miranda and their families with Maeve's baptism. We are celebrating along with you as we celebrate God's gift of life and the gift of God's presence in our lives as we receive Maeve into our church family through baptism, and also celebrate with Miranda in professing her faith, in confirming what God has done in her life from her baptism onward. We're also going to ask you to be flexible with us. As everyone knows, sometimes we wrestle with technology as much as it helps us out. So we're not able to put stuff up on the screen, so we are going to go old school today. So you're going to have to use your hymnals some. So I'm going to have you turn for our opening praise, but let's begin first with our call to worship from Psalm 19, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer." Let's join together in turning to number 66 in the gray hymnals, and we'll sing together all three verses of "To God Be the Glory." And to continue our worship, let's turn now to page 11, where we will continue by singing "My Tribute." Amen. You may be seated. As we gather in the presence of God, we come leaning on and expecting and resting in the grace of our Lord. We come here knowing that it is not our achievement, it is not what we have collected to make ourselves worthy before God, but especially in baptism, we recognize that what we are because of Him. And so as we come with an opportunity to be honest, knowing that we still struggle with our own sinful wants and misdirections in our lives. And yet in the presence of God's grace, we are given an opportunity to be honest, to ask God to correct us, to adjust our perspective, to let us know that we are forgiven of the things that we regret, of the guilt that we carry, and so that we can walk in freedom and refreshment. And so as part of our worship, we have this time of silence for us to come before God, to lay before Him the things that would pull us away, the things we feel like we need to hide, so that we can hear God's word of mercy and grace that reminds us that we are not here by what we have earned, but by what Christ has earned for us. And so in this time of silence, I invite you to raise a prayer of confession to God and wait to hear His word of mercy and grace to you. Let's pray. Friends, hear the good news. The Apostle John says, if we say we have no sin, we only deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Friends, believe the good news. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in Him through His sacrifice, then His promise is that by His paying the price on the cross, that we are forgiven, set free, washed clean, to stand in God's presence as if we were Christ Himself. Through His grace, we have become sons and daughters of God. Through the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, friends, your sins are forgiven, and you are welcome here to receive God's goodness and grace. Amen. As we receive that promise from God to ourselves, we also share that promise with one another. So let's rise and welcome each other today in the peace that Christ has won for us. Peace be with you all. As we receive grace and forgiveness through God, our proper response is always thanks and asking God, how do you want me to live and serve you? And so we do that through a refrain of thanks, which I did not write down. 50, all right. So if we turn in our hymnals to 50, we'll just sing the first verse. That is our refrain of thanks for the love and faithfulness of our God. Now I'm going to invite any of the kids we have up there for the children's message. So join me up front. That's it, you think? You scanned the whole rest of the room. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, thanks for letting me know. I noticed something very different about today, just about how everybody's dressed. Everyone before, it was like t-shirts and shorts, and then boom, we're all cold now, right? It must be fall. Well, I'm thankful to have you guys here because you remember from last time as we were talking, Liana's going to have to grab that for me. We were talking about Psalm 23, and Psalm 23 is teaching us about what Jesus is like, and we are learning that Jesus is like what? A shepherd, that's right. So Psalm 23 has been teaching us that my shepherd is the Lord, there is nothing that I lack. And so we learned that if we want to know what Jesus is like, we got to think about what a shepherd is like. So we talked about how shepherds got to be tough and they have to know a lot about the sheep, but they also have to be kind. They have to have the trust of the sheep. But for today, I want you to stay in that mindset of, you know, a shepherd and a sheep. And if I was the shepherd and you guys were the sheep, if you were thinking about it, eventually you guys would get hungry, right? And if you guys were hungry, where should I take you? Should I take you to McDonald's or to Pizza Ranch? All right, if you're sheep and you get hungry, where do I need to take you? That's right. So I got to take you out to somewhere nice and grassy so you can eat all of that fresh grass, right? And let's say there weren't just three of you. Let's say there were 100 of you that I was taking care of. Could I just take you to some place like the park and there was a lot of grass there and then just leave you there for a really long time? Would that work? No. What would be the problem? Yeah, I'd have to look after them. And eventually, I think if there were a lot of you, you'd probably eat all the grass, right? Some point in time, you'd run out. And so I'd have to think about, okay, so where's the next place that I'm going to take you? And so that's another one of those important jobs that a shepherd has, is that a shepherd has to lead. A shepherd has to find other places for the sheep to go. Because when you're a sheep just eating grass in a field, do you know, are you thinking about some other field where there's even better grass? No, sheep don't think about that, right? That's a shepherd's job. A shepherd's job is to lead and to guide. And you know, if you think about it, even for us, it's really nice to have people guide you. You know, have you ever been somewhere new? Maybe you were new to school and you had someone else sort of show you around school. Did that happen for you? That can be really important because you don't know anywhere about where you're going when you're new. But the great thing about having a guide is that if you don't know where you're going, all you got to do is follow them. And they can show you exactly where it is that you need to go, right? You probably see your mom and dad rely on that all the time. You know, if I'm driving somewhere that I don't know where to go, I can just ask the computer voice, who's named what? Siri, right? I can just ask Siri, how do I get to the grocery store? And, you know, Siri can tell you turn by turn where you're going to go, even if you've never been there before. And I'm sure you've seen adults, moms, dads rely on that a lot to get around because it's important for us to have a guide. If we don't know where we're going, we need someone to lead us to where we're going to go. And so the Bible tells us that that is what Jesus is like for us, that he's like a shepherd and we're his sheep. And so the second line of Psalm 23 says this. It says, he leads me by river fords, and in green pastures I lay back. Now, when you're a sheep, like we said, the most important thing you need is grass and water, right? And the psalm says, he leads me by river fords. Now, a river ford is the lowest place of the river. It's where it's the easiest for sheep to be able to get in and drink. And then he says, in green pastures I lay back, all that green grass to eat. And so just like a shepherd knows the best place to lead the sheep, we believe that Jesus knows the best place to lead us in our lives. Because for any of us, do we know all the things that are going to happen next week? No. But Jesus does. So he's a good leader for us. Or do we know all of the things that God's going to do with the gifts and talents that you have in your life? No. But Jesus knows that. And so Jesus is someone who is worth following because Jesus knows better than anyone where we need to go with our lives. So just like being sheep led by a shepherd, we know that we need to be led by Jesus. And because we love him and we trust him and we know that he loves us, then we can trust that he's always leading us somewhere good. Just like those sheep. He leads me by river fords and on green pastures I lean back. So, now that we've learned the second line of Psalm 23, I want to see if we can put them all together. So like I did last time, I'm going to say the first part, and I want you to say the last word, all right? So last time, if you remember, both of the words started with L, And we'll see if you can jog your memory with those sticky words. So the beginning of Psalm 23 says, "My shepherd is the Lord. There is nothing that I lack." Nice. Really good. All right. So let's put them together now with this line we learned today. And remember, these rhyme. So we go, "My shepherd is the
Lord.
There is nothing that I
lack.
He leads me by river fords. On green pastures I lay back." flat rhymes too. That works. All right. Now I'm going to have you all join with me. We're going to say all this together. All right. "My shepherd is the There is nothing that I
lack.
He leads me by river
fords.
On green pastures I lay
back."
All right. So that's a good reminder for us. As wherever we go this week, we remember that we have to be led by Jesus, because he, like a shepherd, knows better than any of us where it is that we need to go. All right. So let's make that our prayer today. I'm going to have you guys repeat after me. You all can repeat as well as we pray. Jesus, our good shepherd.
We trust you
that when we don't know
where our day is going,
you do.
You know what we need,
and you know
your plans for us.
So give us a heart
to follow you.
Amen. All right. Now, you guys can grab a Smartie, and if you want to, we're going to have a baptism right after this. So if you want to have a front row seat to it, you can. Otherwise, you can head down right now to Kids Church. Like I say now, we have the exciting privilege to do not only a baptism, but also a profession of faith for Maeve and for Miranda, and Kyle's here too. We're happy to have you here as well. Friends, we begin first and foremost by directing our eyes to the whole source of this, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who said right before he ascended into heaven that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And he tells us, "See, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Baptism is a sign and seal of God's promises to his covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, and to send us the Holy Spirit to daily renew and cleanse us, to resurrect us to eternal life. Water cleanses, purifies, refreshes, and sustains. Jesus Christ is the living water. Through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience, to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life. Yet when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue into sin. For baptism is a sign and a seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us.
On behalf of the Board of Elders, I present Miranda Roberts to publicly profess her Christian faith and affirm the meaning of her baptism. I also present Kyle and Miranda Roberts as they bring their daughter Maeve Elise Roberts to receive the sacrament of baptism. In joining our church fellowship and presenting your child for baptism, you announce your love for Jesus Christ. Your eagerness to participate in the life of Christ's body, the church, and your commitment to live as Christ's disciples in the world. With joy, we celebrate together the gift of God's grace in Christ.
And so now as we prepare both for the profession and the baptism, Miranda, I'm going to begin with you, to begin by affirming the meaning of your baptism and to ask you before God and his people to reject sin and to profess your faith in Jesus Christ. So Miranda, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world?
I do.
Do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and affirm the promises of God made to you in His Word? And do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation and through worship and service seek to advance God's purposes here and throughout the world?
I will, and ask God to help me.
And do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of this church, to walk in a spirit of Christian love with this congregation, and to seek the things that make for unity, purity, and peace?
I do.
And now, for both Kyle and Miranda, as Maeve's parent, since you are presenting Maeve for baptism, we ask you to affirm your commitment on God's call to you as Maeve's parents. Do you promise to teach Maeve the truth of God's word and the way of salvation through Jesus Christ?
We will.
And do you promise to pray for Maeve and to teach her to pray and to train her in Christ's way by your example through worship and fellowship with the church? And now I'm going to ask you all as congregation members, friends, and family to stand and affirm your covenant with Miranda and Kyle and Maeve. So both these questions you can respond with, we do. Do you promise to love and to pray for Kyle and Miranda and to encourage them by being examples of Christian faith and character?
We do.
Do you promise to offer the strong support of God's family to Maeve, along with her parents, in your fellowship, prayer, and service? Let's join together in prayer. We give you thanks, O holy and gracious God, for this gift of water. In the beginning of creation, your Spirit moved on the waters. In the waters of the flood, you destroyed evil. You led the children of Israel through the waters of the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the River Jordan, John baptized our Lord, and your Spirit anointed him. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ, the living water, frees us from sin and death and opens the way to life everlasting. We thank you, O God, for the gift of baptism. In this water, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death and raised to share his resurrection and are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Pour out on us your Holy Spirit so that those here baptized may be washed clean and receive new life. To you be all honor, glory, dominion, and power, now and forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Maeve Elise, for you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he died and he conquered death. All this he did for you, even though you don't know it yet. We love because Christ first loved us. Maeve Elise, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May you come to know and love Christ as he knows and loves you. Amen. Let's pray again. Gracious God, in your love and mercy, you have adopted us as your children through Jesus Christ. And from the riches of your grace, bless Maeve with knowing you as Father, living new life in Christ and developing the gifts of your Spirit. Help us to nurture Maeve as a citizen of your kingdom, and together as we wait with all creation for the final coming of your kingdom in a new heaven and new earth. Lord, we pray also that you would renew in Miranda the covenant you made in her baptism. Continue the good work you have begun in her. Send her in the power of your Spirit to love and serve you in joy and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Miranda, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you to the full participation of the church, to its responsibilities, its joys, and its sufferings. And we also receive Maeve into Christ's church. Brothers and sisters, I charge you to love her, to nurture her, and to assist her parents in guiding her as Christ's faithful disciple. With joyful thanksgiving, we welcome you into Christ's church, for we are all one in Christ. We promise you our love, our encouragement, and our support to help you know and follow Jesus. Welcome. For our scripture this morning, I was drawn to two parts from God's law, from the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. Some of this coming out of some conversation I had with Kyle and Miranda as we were thinking about this day. And so our scripture is first going to be from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And then we're also going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 through 25. So to begin with, in Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 to 27, the scripture says this: "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them.'" And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 through 25, God says, after introducing the law to the Israelites, he says, "In the future, when your son asks you, 'What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord has commanded you?' tell him, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. With our own eyes, we saw God send signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and on Pharaoh and on his household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and to give us the land he swore with an oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case to this very day. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, this will be our righteousness.'" Friends, this is God's word for his people. I think it's interesting that anytime parents stand up here with their children, as Kyle and Miranda just did with Maeve, to present them for baptism, that as we go through our liturgy and get to the vows, those commitments that parents make to help in forming their children's faith, there is, of all the things mentioned, one thing that I feel like is the most specific of all of them. That just minutes ago, as we were asking Kyle and Miranda to commit to Maeve, we ask particularly for this promise: do you promise to pray for Maeve and to teach her to pray? That stands out to me because I think in many ways the other parts of the vows can cover a lot of different things. For instance, I think there's a lot of different ways that we can teach Maeve the truth of God's word. Or I think there's certainly all kinds of ways that parents will train their child in Christ's way or be an example to them. And yet prayer is very specific. You know, we know when it is that we pray or we don't pray. And I even think that, unlike many other things for Maeve that she'll probably have to wait for until she's a little older to learn, prayer is something that we do immediately. No matter what stage we are in life, we're blessed when people pray for us. And so I think, first of all, for me, that's just a reminder that when it comes to spiritual things, regardless of what they are, whether it's change in my life or our growth in our children or health in our church, it's important for us to remember that spiritual things only happen when we're looking first to God's power above our own. That for anything we want to see happen spiritually in our lives, the place to begin is in prayer. But I also remember that, as I said, prayer is something that we talked about when I was over
visiting Kyle and Miranda and talking about Maeve's day today. And I remember saying at one point in time, when it comes to the very many of us that find praying out loud a really awkward and embarrassing thing to do and we're not sure how to do it, I will say if there's any place for you to begin practicing, it's got to be with your baby, right? I mean, not that all praying has to be out loud, but I will tell you, you will never have a less judgmental audience on whatever it is you come up with to pray than if you pray with your infant child. But in particular, I also remember Miranda telling me that for her already, prayer has been an important part of her life. And that how from the very beginning, probably from even before Maeve was born, it felt only fitting to include Maeve in your prayers. And I know Miranda in particular mentioned using the words of a song frequently for Maeve as part of her prayer. It's the song, The Blessing, by Carrie Joby, which begins with these words, "The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you." Of course, I would say for many of you, whether you've heard that song or not, you know what the next line is going to be. Because, of course, for most of us, they're some of the most familiar words that we hear as part of a worship service. And yet, not only that, we just heard those words, right? In Numbers chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." We call it the priestly blessing. It's the most classic words of blessing in the entire Bible. It's the blessing I often send you all out with as the benediction at the end of this service. And yet as I spend time thinking about those words, I also recognize that those are very humble words. Because they're words that no matter who says them, whether it's a priest or a pastor or a parent, every one of us who says those words acknowledges that when it comes ultimately to blessing, that is something that is not in our power to give. Instead, what we do is we entrust that person to God's care. To bless someone is to lean in faith on God's promise that he will be present in our lives, that his face will shine and be turned toward us, that God will keep and give grace and peace the way he has promised to. And so I will say for any of you, if you are a parent and you wonder, what words should I use to pray for my children at whatever age, I can't think of a better place to start than this. The Lord bless you and keep you. This is how you are to bless the Israelites, God tells those Old Testament priests. And then God goes on and ends this passage on something else interesting, I think. He says, "So then you will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." Put my name on them. You know, every time that we baptize a baby in worship, there's a challenge that I feel. I think, in a way, we're always bumping up against a mystery, something that Christians have debated about for a very long time. And it boils down to basically this question, is that to ask, what exactly happened here? You know, when that water touches Maeve's head, is there something spiritually that changes for her? It's a point I probably make every single time that we do an infant baptism in church, is to make sure and make clear that this is not magic that happens here. This water, this ritual, it's not something that automatically punches someone's ticket to heaven, just wipes everything clean and takes care of it all. As Christians, we know that our only salvation comes through our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ. He is the only hope that we have. And yet, at a time like this, it brings forward a live question, which is, well, what do we say for those who aren't capable of belief? What about those like Maeve, who at this point in time, know nothing about life except for the most basic functions? Does Maeve not count as part of us, of our community here, until she's old enough to tell us what she actually believes? It's pondering that question that makes me wonder if, in some way, baptizing a child isn't a little similar to what God describes when he says in that priestly blessing that they will put my name on them. Because, friends, today, Maeve has been marked with the name of Jesus. But like any child, Maeve depends completely on her parents and her family to choose what's good for her, to choose what helps her grow. And so, Kyle and Miranda, what you have done today in standing here and baptizing Maeve is to declare that there is nothing better for Maeve than that she should grow up knowing the name and the presence of Jesus. That for her to have her first experiences of what is normal, what people do in a family, is to be in a family that prays and worships and walks by faith. That before she even knows what it means, that Maeve has a home here in Jesus' church. I think if you want to know what has happened here today, I would say that no matter what else may be, whatever Maeve may do or decide in her life going forward, today, by God's grace and hope and in love, we've put Christ's name on Maeve. We are treating her as part of Christ's body here before she even knows what that means. And yet, as wonderful and as profound as that is, we also have to recognize that that's only the first half of what has happened here today, about what today is all about. In order to get to the second part, that's where I want to jump to the other scripture that I read this morning, the other part of God's law from Deuteronomy, where God says to the Israelites, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. God says, in the future, when your son or daughter asks. You see, I see that as pointing to the fact that from the very beginning, God has always meant the life of his people to raise questions. That God means for us as Christians to live a life that for people, they would scratch their head and go, what does that mean? And God's desire is that to be true for no more people than our children. They go, why? We know from the Bible that the Israelites did life in some noticeably different ways. There were certain foods that Israelites didn't eat. There were certain ways they designed their clothes. They had unique sacrifices and festivals, and each one of them with all kinds of rules for doing them just so. And so on the one hand, as an Israelite, to grow up as a kid, you would start off assuming this was all normal. This is how we did things. And yet, by God's design, at some point in time, there came this point at which the questions would come. What's the meaning? What is the meaning of the stipulations, laws, and decrees the Lord our God has commanded you? And you see, right here, friends, I believe, is one of the most telling signs of what God truly cares about in our lives. And that is that for all the commands and instructions, and the Bible is full of them in those first five books, that God gives to the Israelites things that were guaranteed to raise questions for their children and for others in the future, that when God explained to the Israelites how they were to respond when those questions came up, God didn't say to the Israelites, when your children ask, say, well, you shouldn't ask questions. Don't do that. Just do. God didn't say to the Israelites, well, give them the formula. You know, we do all of these things so that God will be nice to us. No, instead says, when they ask, what does this mean? God says, I want more than anything for you to tell them the story. He says, be ready with the story. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of there with a mighty hand. Don't you all have stories that no matter how many times you've told them, you still just love an opportunity to share that story again? Because it's a great story, or it's just something that means a lot to you. I know for many years one of my favorites was a story that came from my roommate in college, Joe, who was my best friend throughout college. I got to be the best man in his wedding the year after we graduated. And one of our favorite stories to tell for years was the way we became college roommates. And I won't give you the long version, I'll just try to pare it down, but the short version is that just a few months into our freshman year, Joe and I both were beginning to wonder, like, how did we get paired as roommates? Joe and I didn't have any classes together. We weren't in the same subjects. There was just nothing about us that seemed to really overlap. Joe was a band guy. I was a football player. Joe was outgoing. I was quiet. Joe's desk was always a mess. Mine was a little bit cleaner. There just did not seem anything that you would look at, like how someone in the admissions office looked at our two applications and said, yeah, we'll put these two together. And so for months, we kind of wondered, how did that happen? And the mystery remained until finally Joe's mom admitted that back in the summer when he had filled out his application form, he had put in the envelope, but he had not sealed the envelope. And somewhere in between that and mailing it, his mom had pulled it out and changed several of his answers in order to get a good roommate. Which she said she never would have admitted if it didn't turn out that we were friends. Which, of course, we thought was hilarious. Although, if there are any high school seniors, I'm sure you're looking at mom going, you do not dare do that. But as you can tell, Joe and I loved to tell that story, not just because it was a funny story, but it also conveyed something important. It's how we became friends. And I'm sure the same is true for you, that there are those stories you love to tell, not just because they're great stories, but because they say something about you. They show something important. And of course, on an infinitely more significant level, the same was true for the Israelites. The story that they had to tell was not only amazing, something worthy of making movies about, but it contained their most defining truth. They said, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders great and terrible on Egypt and on Pharaoh and on his whole household. But he brought us out to bring us in and give us the land he swore on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. You see, for the Israelite, that story explained everything about how and why they did what they did. Their existence was rooted in the astounding grace and favor of God. It's a story God wanted them to be eager, ready to tell, especially when their children asked. Which for us too is always the other bookend to an infant baptism. That today we begin looking with expectation for the day that Maeve will look at all of this. We'll look at lives lived outside these walls and say, what does this mean? My prayer is that she will ask that question, probably to you first as her parents, and probably sooner than you might expect it. My prayer is that she would ask it to family members as she sees you live out your lives of faith. For us here in the church, just as I pray that the other kids that we're blessed to have in this church will ask at some point in time, what does this mean? And so friends, in order to be faithful to the vows that we've made, let me remind you that we should be eager, that we should be ready, not necessarily with all the spiritual answers, not necessarily with the perfectly worded line, but instead, by God's grace, are you ready to tell the story from your heart? That before I ever knew I needed God, God knew me and loved me. That even when I run from God, when I've done things that have broken God's heart, that God chose to go after me. And not just me, but all of us. That God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, so that I might know him. Know him as Father and as friend. That ultimately Jesus gave his life, paid for what I had done wrong so that I might be forgiven and welcome in God's family, so that throughout my life and into the next life, I might hold on through ups and downs onto the hope of the love and the grace of God in my life. Are you ready to tell that story? I remember Joel telling me about a man with a simple faith who had a profound impact on her faith. This was not a guy who was chatty, he was not eloquent, and yet when he was asked once why he went to church, his response was simply this: if someone was willing to die for me, how could I ever stop saying thanks? Friends, that's the story there in one sentence. It's not the most eloquent. It's not the deepest or most profound, and yet by God's grace, that's a true testimony from the heart. And so, friends, whether it's Maeve or whether it's other kids that we are so grateful to have in our church, remember that it's not just the clever answers that they need for their faith to be built and formed in this community. Instead, it's to see and to worship with people whose faith is alive and growing and real. And so as we look ahead, remember that it is not the perfect parent. It's not the spotless church that will stir the faith that we pray for Maeve today. Instead, we ask that by grace, that we may be given faith in God's Spirit, that what we do here and how we live out there may reflect the greatest story, that life is worth the living just because he lives. May you and I be ready with that story. Amen. Well, in a minute we're going to move to a time of prayer, lifting up together the prayers of the church. Just a few things to highlight before we get there. First is, I want to say, as we get into the beginning of October, October 2nd was National Custodian Day. And I know we do this each year, but it's always good for us to recognize and remember those who take care of this house that we all find as a church home together. And so I just want to again particularly thank Daryl and for all of his faithful work, and not only for his work in the church, but he's always an encouragement to me. I bump into him every Monday and Wednesday and usually some other day, and it's good to chat with him and catch up on things. So I'm just very thankful for Daryl and the work that he does for our church. And I know that there are also others of you who have stepped in to help fill in when Daryl's not here. We're very thankful for your willingness to be part of that. And if you would like to be part of a backup crew, if it's not always something Daryl can do, let me or one of the elders know. It's good to know if we've got some other people who can do that work. The other thing that's just new on here that I want to highlight is that we are looking at doing a new member group for those who are interested in membership here at the church. We're looking at doing that the 22nd, the 29th, or the 5th. We're going to try to do two of those Sundays right after worship. And so if you're interested in that, get a hold of me, and then let me know if any of those Sundays work for you, and we'll try to put that together here in the next 2 weeks. And then the other thing is for our youth group event, in addition to our Wednesday night stuff, on Saturday the 21st, we're going to be doing the Trianon Farm Corn Maze, one of the top 10 corn mazes in the country. And that's going to be on the 21st of October. So let Shirley Schuler know if that's something you're interested in being a part of. The cost of that is $10 a student, and we're going to try to have that all lined up here in about 2 weeks as well. All right, with that, let's move now to our time of lifting up together the prayers of the church. Almighty God, Lord of faithful and incredible love, Lord, each one of us is here by your favor and by your grace. Lord, we've been through ups and downs. Lord, we may come here struggling. We may come here joyful. And yet, Lord, we cannot take a breath without you. Lord, the fact that we have this day comes from you. Lord, you are the overflow of life. And Lord, you have been working throughout history in the big ways and in the small ways. God, we give you thanks and praise for the story that you have already written in us. And Lord, for the stories in Scripture and in our own lives and in the lives of our community that give us hope that even as we continue to wrestle in a world that is not yet completely under your perfect rule, Lord, that you will triumph. Lord, that you will bring us to joy. Lord, that you are the shepherd who leads us by still waters and restores our soul. Lord, we thank you today for the ways in which we've been able to focus that celebration on your work in Miranda's life, your work in Kyle's life, and Lord, in this new gift of life in Maeve. And Lord, for the way in which she represents all the other voices that we've heard of children and infants in this congregation today, God, we thank you and praise you for each one of them and what they represent in hope and in love and in the faithfulness you call us to. Lord, I pray that you would begin us here as a church on a journey, that each of us would recognize that you give us the joyful task of being ready with the story, of seeing the way in which your love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives plays itself out in unique ways, so that when we have the opportunity to say so, Lord, that we wouldn't simply rely on being clever or being able to come up with the right words, but Lord, that you would simply give us the ability to speak from our heart, to say, I am what I am because God knows me and loves me, has redeemed me, and gives me hope and grace. Lord, may we be a church in all places, whether with children or with those outside this community, that we would be ready, eager to tell the story. And Lord, that you would add the grace to shine the light, to open people's eyes to the true richness and beauty and goodness that come through following Jesus. Lord, we pray for the ways that works itself out in our communities. Lord, we know that there are still friends and family members who carry heavy burdens, Lord, who are struggling with health, or Lord, with financial issues, or strains on relationship, or incredibly difficult decisions. God, we pray that you would first break into those places with your light and your comfort. Lord, give them hope and strength. And Lord, that you would equip us, even in the times when we're not sure what to say. Lord, when these things test our own faith, I pray that you would guide us into ways of compassion. Lord, that we would have courage to reach out and to bear that burden along with others. And Lord, we pray that we would see your grace and your peace and your power break through. Lord, we pray that again for the Andrew Buss family as we've raised money to help him with treatment. And we pray that you would make that treatment effective for him. Lord, we pray for those in our own church who are going through treatments or having to make tough medical decisions. We pray that you would grant them wisdom and the peace that passes understanding. Lord, we also look across this world and we pray that you would do powerful things. God, we in particular are rocked by the news coming out of Israel as Hamas has sustained a major attack in the Gaza area. Lord, things that people are comparing to events 50 years ago. Lord, already reports are coming out of those injured and killed. Lord, those taken captive. God, we come to our knees and we ask that you would step in, that you would intervene. Lord, that you would bring peace faster than we could possibly imagine. Lord, we pray that for war-torn areas of Ukraine and other places like Afghanistan that have suffered a massive earthquake. Lord, we pray in particular for the men and women that you have called to be your light there. Lord, we can't fully imagine what it would be like, but Lord, you have called them to look after neighbors, to search out, to pray, and to stand by faith, even in those most chaotic of places. Lord, we pray, adding our prayers again and again, that they would truly be signs and lights of your power, and Lord, that you would protect and give them strength, and Lord, that you would do the same to us, whether we head into difficult or ordinary circumstances. Lord, may we too desire to live a life that reflects the glory and the hope and the love that comes through you. We pray these things together as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we close in worship today, we are going to turn again in our hymnals to 297. 297, and we'll sing together all three verses of I Love to Tell the Story. Let's rise to sing.
Thank you.
Now, friends, as you go from this place, go with the name of Christ on you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, both now and forever. Amen.